I have to say, sister, that on my last visit, when you welcomed me to Bali D, I hope I pronounced that right.
Yes.
I was enormously impressed by the warmth of the welcome that you gave to us, but even more impressed with how well organised the camp was. You told me that there are now 7,000 people at the camp, but it was more than twice that number.
Yeah.
Of course, the camp where all of those living there are internally displaced persons. And what we are hoping, of course, is that post the election, that there will be greater stability and a chance for people to return to their homes. But I know that all of us would be very interested in hearing from you the things, the problems that you think might stand in the way, why people are still living in camps. You've got the rainy season approaching, and that puts the camp under greater pressure. We're very pleased that our ambassador, Ruth Nuttall, is working so closely with you. She visits you on a weekly basis, and she's been able to help with some of the facilities in the camp. And, of course, our soldiers also have fulfilled the role at times of helping to protect the camp when it's been under threat from armed gangs. But as well as hearing a little bit more about how you see the future for Timor-Leste, how you see the program that will be necessary in order to get people confident enough to return to their homes, you'd be very welcome to tell us a little bit about your own history, which I know is both fascinating but also somewhat tragic, as the history of Timor-Leste itself has been, with the loss of your father in the 70s at the time of the war, the time that you spent up in the mountains as a refugee, your work with Xanana Gusmão when he was in prison in Sepinak, and the extensive work that you've done with your convent, particularly for enhancing the role of women, education and health. And you're very well qualified to do that. You have a master's degree from Rome, another master's degree from Jakarta, and you also lecture at the University of Timor-Leste, National University of Timor-Leste. So can I thank you for all the excellent work that you do on behalf of your own people, but also the excellent partnership that New Zealand has developed with you and the Canossian sisters at Bali D. I think I was just so impressed at the very good working relationship and how you organised what could otherwise have been chaos into something that was very well ordered and gave people stability and hope in their lives. Now, that's far too long for me, but politicians don't know when to stop talking. if I can invite you now just to talk about the issues that you feel that we might like to hear about, but touching on what's happening in the camp and what's happening in Timor-Leste. Welcome, sister.
So, thank you so much, Honourable Minister. So, first of all, I'd like to thank you for having me here with most great person of New Zealand. I feel myself I'm not worthy to be here, but I don't know why I'm here. That's because minister and also ambassadors of New Zealand for East Timor, Mr. Sharot. And I would like to thank you because your ambassadors in East Timor is helping us too much. I'm saying that she's an angel for me in East Timor, because by the time I was stressed with people, without clean water, without toilets, when I ran to several people, there no answer. But when I ran Ruth, in 15 minutes time, she sent me 6 mobile toilets, 2 containers of water, and daily water carried by New Zealand Embassy in East Timor. That's very helpful. As I'm saying already yesterday to some of people here, that Ruth almost come to visit my IDP center every week. Mm. Yeah. There's a people feel very, very helpful, and people are very happy to have a Ruth here not only as an ambassador, but as one of Timorese women that try to help other Timorese women, especially women and kids. Another thing that I would like to thank here, that the QE line, they are very nice guys. I call them guys because they're very close to us. We work together for the security. During trail times, when I ran them 5 minutes time, they already at the place. They're very kind to people, very friendly to people. One of the things that people are very happy with queue lines, that when they offer some cup of tea or something to them, they eat it, they share it as it is. That's very wonderful that queue line is doing in Timor, not much as army, but their relationship with people so make a lot of grand change, grand difference between other, between Australia and New Zealand. You can notice that since New Zealand President's Day until today, then no, I have never had comment from people that New Zealand queue lines like this are like that, never. They are very friendly to people. And then New Zealand army there, several times they come to camp to entertain people with haka. Yeah. So haka. Haka is make sense of life to people are very fully stressed and very traumatized people there. So I would like to thank for that. And then for the things that I'm doing in East Timor, that's from my own background. So come out for a lot of sufferings when I lost my father. I carried my youngest brother in the mountain, to the mountain for 3 years, not as refugee, but as prisoner. Mm. Yeah. So that it touched my heart to help my own people. I tried to do several times all the ways to help these people, how to confront the problems. For instance, when people, unknown groups attack up my camp for 4 days and 4 nights and 5 days, this was really difficult time for me. But then I solved the problem, risking my life. But anyway, God always there to help us. And another thing that I'm doing there, not only help the refugees, but I also as a mediator to solve the problem between the gangs. Because in East Timor we have a lot of gangs, different gangs. We have 00 to 12-12, and we have Secret Heart, we have Corkard. They fight each other for nothing. So that's a very big problem that we are facing in East Timor. Even though the things now is calm down, but sometimes happen again when they link with alcoholism. Alcoholism doesn't make people, youth members are very crazy. So small things, they try to kill each other, burning down houses, and running around against the police, Umpol police. Whatever they meet in front of them, they might treat them by stoning or with lean shot. And then, as mediator, it's not easy work to do, very hard. Sometimes I talk to them, they listen to me. Sometimes they shout at me, why are you here? Why are you keeping the naughty boys at the camp? Why don't you send back them to their villages? There are always questions. And sometimes some politicians say that I'm keeping refugees there to pull down some power for some politician. And I told this politician, very sorry, but it never came across my mind. Whatever I'm trying to do, only to help our people, to keep them peacefully. At least someone is carrying them, pay attention to them. So as the minister said already, last year we have 25,000 refugees. My place is so small, the space is not able to accommodate all people, but the situation is an obligation to accommodate all of them there without any single space for us. The first time I thought the things might take 3 days or a week. So we give up our own rooms, chapel for all of them. And the thing getting longer and longer. Up today we still have refugees with us. And for the humanitarian assistance, the first time so we do it by ourselves for 4 months. And then, fortunately, Ambassadors of New Zealand is one who help us for clean water, toilets, and other things. And government side, for the first time, this is very, very understanding. You know why they said that? They said, no, we cannot do that, because otherwise we're keeping people there, people are not going back to their home. But you can imagine that suddenly gunshots from different population room houses, civilian houses. You can imagine people carrying guns and pointed on our IDPs. So I decided to close up the gate and I faced them by myself. 16 men carrying guns and make up with ammunition, long ammunition here and down. And I was asking them, who are you looking for? They answer me that we are looking for our enemies. Who are your enemies? Yes, sister, we still have our enemies here. And then I look at them. And then I ask them, please, stop. Stop for a moment. They stop. And I asked them, please carry your guns with your left hand and raise up your right hand. They raise up the right hand, and I said, please let us pray. I pray with them, and I embrace one by one, one by one. And then I told them, please go to your headquarters, stay there peacefully, not come back here, until the things become order and peacefully. They went. They passed 100 meters from my convent and opened fire there. So suddenly, open fire everywhere. The people are very scared. The children and women were shouting. But I was out. And they said, oh, sister ran away with Malays. And Malays, it means with foreigners. She ran away. And I told them nothing. I'm not going to run away from here. And then we were alone. At the time, every community, every place is there, we have refugees. We have to carry them by our own self. Police, national police and FTTL were broke down. So we have no one is going to help us. So they are carrying a lot, collecting a lot of munitions, some pistols, some big rifles. I put on my room and I said, God, please keep them safety. Otherwise, going to have some explosion here, people are going to die. Waiting and waiting until Australian New Zealand Army arrived in East Timor. When they arrived, the first arrivals in East Timor, a group of Australian Army, they went through to our place. For 7 days they were there for collection of ammunition, grenades, different kinds of rifles, because in my place are still also national police, if they tell members, some parliament members, government workers, they were there. One of the things I would like to say, tell you that one day when I rescued police and FTTL, because my mind is very confused, I put them together in a room. I didn't realize that they are enemies. Yeah. So 10 of them, 6 policemen and 4 FTTL members. And then I realized that they are different. I thought, please, I have to move you. And then if they tell carrying guns, I said, please give me your guns. Let me carry your guns for a moment. Yeah? And I put in my room. But the thing is very amazing. Mix up with things, you can come ethnical issues and the political issues and martial arts, make a lot of things. There's a lot of problems, and there gets, people are crying for peace, but at the same time, people are doing problems, making problems. Until now, we have 10,000 houses were burned down. 10,000 houses were burned down. The new government has already a program to solve the problem of refugees. They allocate money for refugees. But in short time, I'm not really sure that they are going to do everything in the same time. But hopefully that in January, refugees go back to their villages. Because we that can tell you that we cannot do more. I myself really exhausted. So for the blessing of His Excellency Minister of Defense, now I'll feel a little, feel more relaxed. May God bless you.
Are they still burning down houses?
Yes. A night before I left, they had some problem killing each other. Then they called me, I went down. I brought them to the hospital. And when they arrived in hospital, they said, we are some of Sister Guillermina's children. As an excuse for the doctors to look after them. If some trouble come in, they might be saved. This problem happened. Yeah? I rescued different people also, including Brigadier General Kitts. That's a very risk of life. He left behind his kids, so I went to rescue them. This under shooting. And then I can tell that I was treated by different groups with machete for 11 times and guns 3 times.
So it's no more peaceful after the election than it was before the election?
After election, this has a lot of rumor because they burned down the seaport. All the documentation has gone. At the time, I told, before I left for Jakarta, I had a meeting there. I told Shanan, you have to be careful with the seaport. There's a lot of documentation there, all the documentation there. But you know, the devil are more clever than other people, so bend down the seaport, so we lost all the documentation.
Is that the IDP camp by the seaport or the seaport itself?
Seaport itself.
Oh, okay. That's been burnt?
Yeah, in August.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
After election.
Yeah. So during that time that they didn't know who was in control, or after that?
That someone was, some group were there, but they couldn't manage to save the seaport building. Because of there's a mass.
That's the building straight opposite Kiri Lines.
Yes.
That big building.
Yeah.
Sometimes the newspapers here talk about differences between people from the west and people from the east. Is there any truth to that?
That's really true. The main problem before they start the problem, the root of problems about the ethnical issues. That's raised up by some politicians saying that Western people, they did an effort for independence, and only Eastern people were one who fought for independence. From there, the breakdown from FDTL institution, 600 members of FDTL, they break down from the institution. So from them, the root of problems. And then at the time, Shanana, our government, the former government, maybe they might thought that it's a small problems. But they didn't notice that we have a lot of problems inside, so we're creating problems inside the problems until today. Hopefully that you can understand my broken English.
No,
we had out here last
the
week.
The English speakers, my goodness.
Your English is a lot better than our Tatum. All Portuguese. That's interesting. How do you see the future from here? I mean, the thing that I guess I worry most about Timor-Leste is I've never been to any country where I've seen so many children. The population is so young. I think half of the population under the age of 15, maybe three quarters under the age of 25. And with all of these young people, we need to give them hope to build a future. But nearly half of all of the young men in Timor-Leste are not employed. And that obviously feeds into the problem with the gangs, etc. What are the most important needs that Timor-Leste has, and how can the international community work with you to help meet those needs?
The first thing, the security. I have heard that New Zealand is going to remove Q-Line from East Timor.
That's just a rumour. One of those other rumours. No decision has been made to do that, I can assure you, as Minister of Defence. But security is your first need, obviously.
Yeah, security. And then unemployment so very high, and the poverty so make these boys are very crazy. Without doing anything, no job. No one listen to them. So the main problem of the youth members, especially for the boys. And then education. Because education, so lack of human resources, lack of materials. So this one thing is very, very difficult for us in East Timor, because in East Timor we have 17 universities, but all universities are lack of lecturers, lack of materials. And majority of youth members, so they are drop out from school, some of them on the level 3 of primary school, so they have no knowledge, no education, so they do whatever they want to do, and at the same time people using them as a resource for violence in East Timor. Education.
With regard to security, obviously we have about 180 people in Timor-Leste as part of the Kiwi Defence Force, and while we haven't made any decision to withdraw, at some point we need to move to transfer some of those responsibilities to the FDTL and the PNTL, the Defence Force and the Police. How long do you think it will be before they will be able to assume some of the responsibilities? Do you have confidence that the Defence Force and the Police Force can, with international assistance, do maintaining security?
The first thing that PNTL and FDTL, they should reconcile themselves to work together. There's a problem of reconciliation. And also to create a credibility among themselves and people in East Timor, because some people, majority of people, are still untrust to PNTL and FDTL, because they make up the problems of killing in PNTL in May 25th. So they make a lot of people, they don't trust again FDTL and PNTL. They're so worried.